thankful for Jesus, for his shed blood. Amen. Thank the Lord. All right, take your Bible and open to the book of Genesis, chapter number 4. Genesis chapter 4. All right, I told Brother Tracy I'm going to use the pulpit mic tonight, so I have to stay put. I'm going to get some children involved, all right? So I'm going to ask a few questions, and I've kind of pre-selected some of the children in my mind, so if they're still awake when I get to the questions, then I'm going to ask the children to get involved to kind of help us tonight. I know that they're a part of the devotion here, and I want to try to do my best to keep everybody engaged. Just some simple truths tonight. I think that what we've heard thus far the past couple Wednesdays has been very good. It's most of the time it's just things that we've heard before. We just have to be put in remembrance, those of us that have been in church for a while, and so I'm not going to do anything but more of the same of that tonight. So Genesis chapter 4, we'll read a couple scripture, and then I have three just observations that I'd like to make from verse number 26, but let's read verse 25 and verse 26. Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 25. The Bible says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." I've always been intrigued by this passage of Scripture. I've just thought that it's remarkable that we have it recorded the first time in history when men are said to have called upon the name of the Lord. I mean, it's a pretty important thing. Right? I mean, that's how we got saved. And so Genesis chapter 4 tells us when it all began to happen. And you know the story of Genesis chapter number 4. It doesn't start out very well. Starts out with Cain and Abel. And Cain is still alive at the end of chapter 4, and Abel's not. And as the Lord begins to pronounce his judgment upon Cain, Cain asks for God's mercy. God shows mercy upon him. Cain goes out away from the presence of the Lord and begins to build a civilization. And Genesis 4 is just a very dark chapter. And so I want to start out by making three observations. The first one is this: prayer shines brightest in dark times. Prayer shines brightest in dark times. So I'm going to turn this on. I'm going to go and find a child here to ask a question. And can you hear me? Emery, could you help us out? I have a very easy question for you tonight. Okay? So if you could help us out, tell us, when do you most need a flashlight? In the daytime or when it's dark?
When the power goes out.
When the power goes out, right? So, sound like she's experienced the dark times, right? That answer went down into her soul. She said, when the power goes out, right? That's when you need a flashlight. You don't need a flashlight when it's daylight, when you can see, when the lights are on. You need a flashlight when it's dark. And so we see in this chapter, man, there's darkness all around. And there's murder. There's a wicked society being built. People are living their lives outside of God's influence, and it's a dark chapter. But in the midst of that darkness, you have men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And I thought about this. You know who these prayer meetings really mean a lot to? They mean a lot to the people that they can feel the darkness. And that's who is convinced, and that's the people that are doing the praying. The people that look around them, and they not only see the darkness, they sense it, they can feel it. Whether it's in the world around them, when they turn on the TV or look at their media, whether it's in their own life, right, whether it's in their family, there's darkness all around us. And the people that I believe are praying are people that are most convinced of that truth, that there's darkness all around. And so that's the first observation that I wanted to mention. The people that these prayer meetings really matter are the people that feel the darkness all around them. And I thought about this. God often, he uses darkness. He uses trouble in our lives, times when the power goes out, right? He uses those times often to drive us to prayer, does he not? And so I don't know everything that you're going through. And thank God if you're here and you're on the mountain. All right, but if you're here and you're on the mountain, look around you. There's some people in a dark valley. And man, we need to lift them up in prayer. And we need to remember, look around you. We live in a dark world. This world's gone crazy. And it should behoove us, it should encourage us to get on our face, get on our knees before God and pray. You know, before any great revival that you read about in history, it all started with prayer, didn't it? I mean, there's not been a one that I've read about that didn't start with a group of people that were convinced that they were in the midst of darkness. And they started getting serious about their prayer life and getting a hold of God. They began to call upon the name of the Lord. All right, so that's number one. Number two, praying people are dependent people. Praying people are people that realize, I need God, right? Notice, if you will, verse number 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, all right? So Seth has a son, and he calls his name Enos. So the word Enos means, it means frail, it means weak, mortality, right? In the very name carries the idea of weakness. Now, there's many names for man in the Bible. Matter of fact, Adam, his name means mankind. But I just learned this in the last couple of days, that the name Enos, that name is also used for man. But it's used for man when it's talking about him and his frailty, right, and his weakness. And I believe that as Seth, right, knew about his family history, I believe that he named his son because he was very aware at how weak man and mankind had become. And so praying people are people that are dependent. So I'm getting ready for my second question here, Brother Tracy. All right.
I can read it. Still black, Brother Tracy.
Can you hear me now? All right. Weakness. Paisley, can you help me with this question? All right, I'm going to ask you a question. All right. Do you think that you could carry your dad across the front of this church? Yes or no?
No.
Why not?
I don't really know.
Is he too big?
Yes.
That's a good answer, Paisley. I asked her if she could carry dad across the front of this church. I thought she might say yes, Brother Brian, and we might have to prove something tonight. She can't do it, right? If she's going to carry dad across the front of this church, she's going to need some help, right? She's going to need to depend on somebody else. We might have to get Devin involved, right? We might have to get somebody else involved, get Brian across the front of this church. But Paisley realizes, you know what? I can't do this on my own. And I thought about this. You know who believes in prayer? Children do. Children believe in prayer. If you've ever worked with children, you know that. When it's prayer request time, you have to move on. You have to take control of the situation and move on to another time. But I'm telling you this, and I'm not throwing stones. I'm just stating something that I've seen as I've worked with children, young people, teenagers, adults. Something happens. And I don't know what, when they get close to the teenage years, the prayer requests go away. Sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get prayer requests. What is that? Have we stopped believing in prayer? I mean, we ask children, and they'll give us the list, right? Pray for mom, pray for dad, pray for the pets, and you say, well, none of that really matters. Well, you might be surprised. You might be surprised how much it matters. And you might be surprised how much God gets involved in the prayers of a child that's depending upon the God that we've told them is their Heavenly Father that they can pray to. They believe that. Go work with them. I'll tell you this. It's a quick story, but it illustrates the truth. This year in school, my wife, Jennifer, she has prayer time with her children. They take prayer requests, and they have a lot of prayer requests. And I don't see Cindy here tonight, but Cindy Brooks was persistent about praying for, was it Grandma's cat? Pray for Grandma's cat. All right, my wife's more patient than me. So my wife's praying for Grandma's cat for weeks, right? They're praying. Grandma's cat went missing. All right, went missing. Cindy said, I want to pray for Grandma's cat. And Jennifer, just in her mind, she's probably thinking, you know, after the first couple of weeks, Grandma's cat's probably gone, right? Grandma's cat's probably gone. But Cindy was insistent, no, I hadn't heard anything, let's keep praying for Grandma's cat. And I see some in the class, they're shaking their head. You know what happened several weeks later? What was this, months later? A month later, maybe? Guess who showed up? In a neighboring county, in Warrenton, okay? The cat showed up in Warrenton. And Cindy came back to class boasting because her prayer got answered. You say, well, that's silly. It might be God proving himself to a young person that still believes in prayer. And so praying people, they're dependent people. And so I wonder, do you still believe in prayer? Do I still believe in prayer? Because if we're not careful, we get to this place, and in our mind we think, well, what's the point of mentioning that? What's the point of mentioning a prayer request? Or, just to be a little bit more personal, what's the point of even praying? Right? I'm going to pray if I really believe I need God. And I believe he can do something about it. So number one was prayer shines brightest in dark times. Number two, praying people are dependent people. And then last, number three, Cain's family built cities. Seth's family built altars. Okay? Cain's family built cities. You can read about it in chapter number four. A whole civilization. And they're skilled. They're talented. Man, they made a name for themselves. But that's what they were known for. Seth's family began to call upon the name of the Lord. So one family became known for what they built. The other became known for who they called on. And so I'm going to ask one more question here. See, is he still with us? Sawyer, right? I had my own Sawyer from a meeting that we had before church upstairs. And this young man sat in that meeting, did he not, Pastor? He sat there, behaved, listening. And he did a great job. And I was like, I'm going to ask Sawyer a question. All right, and he's ready. So, Sawyer, do you ever play with Legos or blocks? Sometimes, do you play with those? Yes, you can. Okay, no. But you know what they are. You know how to build things, right? So, I have a question. If you were to build like a Lego tower, just out of Legos, do you think that those Legos are stronger or your dad? Legos or dad, which is stronger?
Dad.
Good answer. Give me five. Good answer. That's a great answer. He said dad's strong. Of course dad's stronger, right? Than a tower of Legos. I mean, most of you know that. Dad's stronger than Legos. You see, it's a simple question, right? But if we're not careful, we'll put more confidence in the things that we build, right, than we do our Heavenly Father. We'll put our energy there, and we'll build our lives upon that. You see, Cain's family was known for what they built, a civilization. Seth's family was known here, and it's recorded in Genesis 4, for calling upon the name of the Lord. Some people trust what they build. God's people should trust their Heavenly Father. Three simple observations, all right? So in a dark world, weak people begin calling upon the name of the Lord. And tonight, guess what? It's a dark world. And praying people are people that realize we're weak. We need God. And I don't know exactly what that looks like in every detail of your life, but from the children to the parents to the grandchildren, we need God. And we live in a dark world. And that's what men did in Genesis way back, the beginning of time. And that's what we're still doing today. And may God help us to be more childlike in our faith. And our dependence upon our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging my heart with these very simple truths. And God, I pray that you would help me. Help teach me to pray. And help me to realize, Lord, that I need you. And I pray that you would meet needs tonight. In Jesus' name.